ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 20, Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena, text number 20. Prasthana vimukho pena, anugraha vilambita, Pashyan Padma Pala Saksho Na Pratashte Surit Satam Prasthana Vimukho Penam Anugraha Vilambita Pashyan Padma Pala Saksho Pratashte Surit Satam Prasthana Vimukho Penam Anugraha Vilambita Pashyan Padma Pala Saksho Na Pratashte Surit Satam Prasthana to leave, Abhimukaha, ready, Api, although, Enam, him, Pritu, Anugraha, by kindness, Vilambita, detained, Pashyan, seeing, Padma Palasha Aksha, the Lord whose eyes are like the petals of lotus flower. Na, not. Patashte, departed. Surit, the well-wishing. Satam, of the day. Translation. The Lord was just about to leave, but because he was so greatly inclined toward the behavior of King Pritu, he did not depart. Seeing the behavior of Maharaj Pritu with his lotus eyes, he was detained because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. Please repeat. The Lord was just about to leave. But because he was so greatly inclined toward the behavior of King Pritu, he did not depart. Seeing the behavior of Maharaj Pritu with his lotus eyes, he was detained because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. Here the words Surit Satam are very significant. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always very inclined toward his devotee and is always thinking of the devotee's well-being. This is not partiality. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is equal to everyone, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, but to one who particularly engages in his service, he is very much inclined. In another place, the Lord says that a devotee always exists in his heart, and he also exists always in the heart of the devotee. The special inclination of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his pure devotee is not unnatural, nor is it partiality. For example, sometimes a father has several children, but he has special affection for one child who is very much inclined toward him. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipuvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayantite. Those who constantly engage in the devotional service of the Lord in love and affection are directly in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sitting as the Super Soul in everyone's heart. The Lord is not far away from the devotee. He is always in everyone's heart. But only the devotee can realize the Lord's presence. And thus he is directly connected and he takes instruction from the Lord at every moment. Therefore, there is no chance of a devotee being in error, nor is there any partiality on the part of the Lord for his pure devotees. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manasisham Stapitam Yena Rukale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Rita Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sarajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitamcham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sita Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karuti Vacharam Pangam Namaratiri Yachupatam Translation. The Lord was just about to leave, but because he was so greatly inclined toward the behavior of King Prithu, he did not depart. Seeing the behavior of Maharaj Prithu with his lotus eyes, he was detained because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees. We are being given a picture of when Maharaj Prithu had properly received the Supreme Personality of God and served him and pleased him, and when the Lord was due for leaving, that he could not depart. Why the Lord couldn't depart was because of the love of his devotee King Prithu. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is attracted by devotion. And he is not in want of anything from us. Generally, people feel that God is standing in the way of their desires. He is demanding that we worship him and that we offer things to him. The devotee understands that everything belongs to Krishna. In fact, we also belong to Krishna. And we have an eternal loving relation with Krishna, which is our main source of happiness, if we need happiness in this material world. Here, we are reminded of a situation when the Lord was due to leave Hastinapur. Krishna had come to assist Maharaj Yudhisthira in performing the Rajasuya Yajna. He had allowed Uddhava to give good counsel to him as though the Lord didn't know what to do. That if you go to Hastinapur, you'll be able to take care of the mission of finishing off the demon Jarasandha and also establish Yudhisthira as the emperor of the planet. And the Lord, due to the affection that was shown by Yudhisthira Maharaj, he also couldn't depart from Hastinapur. So this is showing that if one has love for Krishna, then one has control over Krishna. We heard how Prema Bhakti is Sri Krishna Kashini. It attracts Krishna. And therefore it is said Krishna doesn't generally give love of Godhead very easily, because love of Godhead controls him. In the purport, here Prabhupada is mentioning that the Lord says that the pure devotee is always in my heart, and I'm always in the pure devotee's heart. Sadhavo vidayam, mayam, sadhanam vidayam toham. So, if the devotee is in the core of Krishna's heart, and Krishna is in the core of the devotee, this means that there is always love being exchanged. One cannot be in Krishna's heart if one is not pure, because Krishna's heart is all pure. So, Yudhisthira Maharaj, being a pure devotee, was able to keep Krishna just by loving affection from leaving Hastinapur. Here also, Prithu Maharaj, by his devotional service, is able to check the departure of the Lord simply by glancing at the personality of Godhead. Prabhupada is mentioning that someone may say that the Lord is partial. Why is he giving special favor to Prithu Maharaj? Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita that Samaham Sarvabhuteshu Name Vyashta Sinakriya Yeva Janti Tumam Bhaktya Sa Chame Maya Teite Shachatriya. So, I envy no one. I am equal to everyone. No one is particularly dear to Krishna, he's saying. But those who Yeva Janti Tumam Bhaktya, who worship me with devotion, then I am a friend to them and they are also my friend. Prabhupada gives an example. I mean, a simple understanding. There could be a man who may be running a kindergarten, for example. So many kids are there. And he is known as someone who loves children. But if that kindergarten, Lord forbid, catches fire, and then the man is seen to save his children first, if someone later wants to blame him that you are supposed to be a lover of children, how come you saved your children first when the fire was burning? That would be unfair, because by nature of love, then one is drawn and attracted with more affection to his own particular kids, his own personal kids. And so in the same way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has created this material world, and it is functioning based on the laws of nature, which are the laws of Krishna. And under the laws of nature, then everyone is being dealt with. Krishna doesn't discriminate that some people don't worship him, some people blaspheme him, some people don't care for him, in terms of providing the necessities for everyone. There is rainfall, there is sunshine, everyone is given the power of digestion. So many facilities have been provided by the Personality of Godhead for maintaining life in this material world. But the Lord, in his form of as the laws of material nature, is very impartial. It is like a machine. The laws of nature work like a machine. If you go to a vending machine and you want to purchase some particular item, then no matter you are the CEO of the company, you are the cleaner in the company, or you have shares in the company, each person has to put a certain amount of money to purchase a certain article from the vending machine. So, similarly in this world, every action has a reaction for you. But one who approaches the Lord, then the Lord says, "Mercy, judge, do not fear." Because every action has a reaction. In the material world, our activities are based on our particular modes of nature, and therefore they react and they produce whether good or mixed or bad reactions. That means that everyone has to be there to get the result of his activity. When we act to please Krishna, then that activity is without reaction. Therefore it is said, Rishikena, Rishikena, Seyam, Bhakti, Seyam, Uchite. If we serve the master of the senses, Krishna, then we do not become implicated in the reactionary activities of this material world. Prabhupada is quoting in the purport, the method by which Krishna is reciprocated. Tesham satata yutanam bhajam. Tam kriti kubakam dadami buddhi opam tam. Yena mamam payantite. Those who are constantly engaged in serving him. Basically the good children. Parent has a couple of children in the house. And some children don't care so much about the feelings of the parent. They want to exploit the parent for their own enjoyment. They know that the parent is attached to them, and they are exploiting that attachment. But one of the children is particularly careful how to please the parent. They are willing to do extra chores in the house. And therefore the parents, although all are his or her children, but will naturally feel more inclined to this one child who's obedient, who has a service attitude. And this is the law of reciprocation. The material world is just a mechanistic system. You do one activity, you get a result. So everyone is under that. But then when one approaches Krishna and is willing to serve Krishna in devotional service, then Krishna reciprocates. So Krishna is not a mechanical cosmic bellboy who's there to fulfill our desires, but his reciprocal personality. He says that as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So we are being given clear instruction. If we want the ability to feel the protection and care of the Supreme Personality, we should approach the Lord with devotion. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, we are shown when Airavan, the son of Arjuna with Ulupi, had been killed. And Arjuna was distressed. Naturally, he lost his son. And he was shedding tears. And Krishna, the personality of Godhead, came and put his arm around the shoulder of his friend Arjuna and was consoling him that even in Krishna's eyes, tears were coming. He was moved by the grief of his devotee. And then Krishna went even a step further to console Arjuna. Then he told him, actually, there's a situation that I want you to defeat. There are 5 golden arrows that have been given to Duryodhana. Bhishma Dev has imbued all his ascetic power in these arrows. Duryodhana had gone to Bhishma Dev. He was feeling that he's not exerting himself enough to destroy the Pandavas. And for a Kshatriya, if someone questions their valor, their chivalry, this is hurting for them. They don't like that. And so Bhishma Dev, of course, he had affection for the Pandavas. But then, because he was taking the side of Duryodhana, then he promised him, okay, he had these golden arrows, I will infuse them with all my ascetic power so that tomorrow I shall kill the Pandavas. So Duryodhana was pleased by this, because he is very diplomatic. So he decided, I don't even trust that I need the arrows of you. I'll keep them, and I'll give them to you in the morning. So Krishna, while consoling Arjuna, he goes a step further to show that he's always thinking for their welfare. You go to Duryodhana. You remind him when you were in the forest in exile, he had come to show off his opulence. Duryodhana set up camp just on the opposite side of the river. And the Pandavas are going through dire straits in the forest, and he is, you know, with all servants and paraphernalia decked out, having a good old time, just to embarrass them, just to show off. Opulence that is actually stolen from them. Talk about the rubbing salt into the wound. And while he was doing that, the Gandharvas used to come there to take their bath. And Duryodhana, they say, no matter where you go, you take your forehead with you. So being proud and sort of envious, he started quarreling with the Gandharvas about taking bath at a particular time. So the Gandharvas got into a fight with him and he was in trouble. Yudhisthira Maharaj, whose character is impeccable, he felt, Arjuna, we should go save him. Bhima couldn't understand this. Why do you want to save this guy? You know, he put us to hell. And now you say we should save him. Let the Gandharvas finish him off and save us the trouble. Yudhisthira Maharaj said, well, against everyone else, we are brothers. We cannot allow someone from the outside to come in and hurt him. So Arjuna went there following his brothers and sisters, and took care of the Gandharvas and saved Duryodhana, who was embarrassed, head hanging. And he said, I owe you a benediction. What do you want? Arjuna said, don't worry. Some other time maybe I may ask for you for a benediction. So Krishna reminded him, now is the time to go and ask him for this benediction, and ask him to give you these arrows. So he came. The warfare for the Kshatriyas, you know, is controlled by codes, and people are able to even visit each other every evening. During the day, they're trying to butcher each other. In the evening, they can have a meal together. So he came into Duryodhana's tent. Duryodhana was surprised. Maybe Arjuna has come to surrender. Arjuna said, well, remember you promised me a benediction when I saved you from the Gandharvas. Duryodhana was embarrassed. Yes. Well, I've come to ask for that benediction. What do you want? You can you please give me those 5 arrows? Duryodhana was shocked. How does this guy know these 5 arrows? And because, you know, as a Kshatriya, his word had to be upheld, he gave the arrows. But then he asked, tell me, Partha, how have you found out that I have these arrows? Arjuna said, Krishna, of course, he is from. Duryodhana was thinking to himself, this Keshava is really something else. That night he was thinking, maybe, just maybe, this Krishna is actually the indwelling super soul, that maybe he's actually Bhagavan God. It said that he even offered a prayer that night to Krishna about the war. So Krishna is always thinking about the welfare of his devotees. Of course, it is not that Krishna's business is to protect all the time our physical body, our material situations. Mainly he is protecting our spiritual lives. But we see here that for the welfare of the Pandavas, he gave this information. When Bhishma Dev came in the morning, to get the arrows. Duryodhan was like, you won't believe what happened. What happened? I don't have the arrows. What happened to the arrows? Arjuna came last night and came to ask for them, and I gave them to him. How did he know you had the arrows? He said, Krishna told him. And Bhishmadev, a smile broke out on his face. He is a devotee, and how he knows that Mare Krishna Rakhe Kerakhe Krishna Mare. If Krishna wants to kill you, then who can protect you? And if Krishna wants to protect you, who can harm you? So he told them this, you know, the will of providence has to prevail. But then, you know, to console him, he promised him again. Anyway, I cannot again, because Duryodhana was asking, can you not give you five arrows to kill them? He said, I've put everything of my ascetic power in those arrows. So. But I will fight like a lion today to finish Arjuna. And he was thinking also that in fighting with Arjuna to kill him, he would induce Krishna to break his promise. It's either Krishna will have to break his promise to save Arjuna, or Arjuna will be finished. Bhishmadev is the greatest archer in the entire dynasty. No one could actually stand before him. So, the next day, Bhishmadev was like lightning, just crushing everyone, and was focusing on Krishna and Arjuna on that chariot. And it came to a point where he had even cut to pieces the Gandiva bow of Arjuna. And Krishna could tell that if he doesn't do anything, then Arjuna will be finished. So Krishna jumped off the chair. Arjuna realized, no, you shouldn't do this, Krishna. People are going to call you a liar. You said you were not going to take part in the war. But Krishna didn't care for that. Arjuna couldn't get hold of him, grabbed hold of the wheel of the chariot, and he was rushing towards Bhishmadev, wanting to crush him with the wheel of the chariot. We see here how Krishna is not lying when he says he's in the heart of his devotees. And he's a super soul. He knew the desire of his devotee Bhishmadev, that he has a loving mood, a chivalrous mood. He'd like to see the Lord in fighting spirit. And when he saw the Lord approaching him with chariot wheel in hand, for him it was a very beautiful scene. Krishna wants to kill him and he's relishing. Just seeing how the hair is blowing, how the perspiration is flowing from his cheeks, how the dust is being raised by Krishna rushing towards him. Arjuna, though, had to stop Krishna from fighting with Bhishmadev to protect Krishna's word. But Krishna, he knows that because he's controlled by the love of his devotees, that's why in Gita he's telling Arjuna, Kunteya Pratijani, Ame Bhakta Pranash. You declare it boldly that my devotee is never vanquished. So devotees ask, why is Krishna not declaring himself? He's been speaking all along instructions that we are meant to take seriously. But here it seems that he's giving Arjuna, he must say. So Krishna, he knows that, anyway, he's the transcendental autocrat. If you are the lawmaker, at least the supreme lawmaker, you don't fall under the jurisdictions of those laws. And he knows that he can break those laws. And so, he has given power and authority to his pure devotees. That when the pure devotee makes a promise, then, as Prabhupada is saying in the purport, that there is no chance of a devotee being in error. What the pure devotee of the Lord promises, then the Lord becomes duty-bound to fulfill it. In our case, this is our optimism in the Hare Krishna movement, that whatever Srila Prabhupada has promised us in terms of if we practice the process as laid down, as taught by him, then Prabhupada said, when you go back to home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. Sometimes the devotees, of course, feel it, how mature energy is not a joke, how she never takes a holiday, how she knows our individual susceptibilities for enjoying this material world is coming for us. We may feel that, you know, how will I make it back home, back to God? But we are meant to cultivate this trust. There's a pastime that Prabhupada was speaking, and he was making the point that until and unless there's not even one iota of mature desire in your heart, then you will not go back to home, back to God. And when the devotees heard that, you know, they were depressed, knowing how tough it is, the battle against mind. Prabhupada detected that, and then said, then as he was finishing, then he mentioned, okay, 80%. And some were, Haribol, but others still hanging in their heads. Then his Prabhupada got off the asana and was leaving, and he threw his chat over his shoulder and he said, okay, 75%. Everybody, ah, Haribol. So, because of Prabhupada's grace, because of the devotee's grace, the spiritual master's grace, then something which is beyond our ability to achieve can be achieved. It is not to encourage that we should slack off and say that, well, Prabhupada, he'll deliver me, I can just be half-hearted. But the science is there that we must practice and be determined, aka helpful, and we should not become addicted to trying to accumulate more than is necessary. We should not waste time. So many guidelines are there for cultivating pure devotional service. But our attitude is that what qualification is there within me, really, that I can arrest Krishna by my devotion? But we understand that if we try to please the pure devotee who has pleased Krishna, who is dear to Krishna, who is in the heart of Krishna, then if he petitions Krishna to deliver me, everything will be successful. So that is the optimism of the devotee, that we want to please the spiritual master, we want to please Srila Prabhupada. And by their grace, then we'll be able to receive Krishna's partiality. Because at the end it comes out that he is actually partial to his devotees. In the material world, Prabhupada gave the example of the rain. It falls on mountains, it falls in the ocean, it falls in different places. But you know, on the mountains you may not get your mangoes. But if it falls on fertile ground, then some nice mango tree may grow and you can harvest. So everywhere Krishna is supplying the necessities, but he will reciprocate as the devotee surrenders them to him. And so this is the message that is being given in this purport. Pranjara Shiman Bhagavatam Ki, Shiva Bhagavatam. Anyone with some comments, a question? Maharaj, please enlighten us further. I'm sitting in front of you now. Shake it. Anyone else? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Prema Jai.